you. So God, as we speak about this word this morning, I pray that you bless this message, speak to our hearts, change our lives, and do great and powerful things, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." This word can go two different ways. You will either be overcome or you will overcome. It's one or the other. What I have been finding, it's more than just the people in the church. It's also people outside of the church. It's people that all around the world are being overcome with circumstances in life, overcome with all sorts of things, overcome with evil. You know, I look at the news. I see, you know, over this whole election thing, you see people that are overcome with frustration, and they're out in the streets protesting, and they're in the colleges crying, and they're overcome. I could say a lot about that, but I'm not going to. I'll refrain. But you know, all the time, I'm coming across people that are overcome with the things of the world. And not only people outside the church, but people inside the church, overcome. Why isn't it that more of us are the ones doing the overcoming? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How can you tell if you're overcoming evil with good? When the bad thing happens, are you rejoicing? When life is coming at you full steam, and are you standing? Are you able to take it? You know, I'm thinking about the children of Israel. You can read in the Old Testament where there were times when they were overcome and the enemy carried them off. But then there were other times when they overcame and they trusted in the Lord and they won great victory. My hope today is that we would all be overcomers in the sense that we would go out there and win great victories. Now, this particular verse comes from a chapter. I'm going to read that in a few moments. But before I do, I want to look at another verse. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 11 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death.'" Now, that says a lot of things there. First, salvation. Salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Are you living victoriously in your salvation? Are you living victoriously with the strength of God? Is the kingdom of God flowing in you and through you? Is the power of Jesus Christ in you and through you? Are you an overcomer? Because of this, because we're saved, because we're given strength, not in our own strength, but God's strength. Are you overcoming because you have Jesus in your life, and the power of having Jesus in your life makes you an overcomer? It says, "The accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night." You know why sometimes you feel overwhelmed? You feel overcome? Satan is every moment standing before God. "Hey, look what he did. Hey, look what she did. Oh, did you see what they said? Did you hear what they thought?" But Jesus intercedes. Amen. He's cast down, church. The moment that you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, the accuser can stand before God and shout until he's blue in the face, all of the stuff that you did. But Jesus stands right there and he says, "Forgiven. Yeah, forgiven. Oh, that too? Yep, forgiven." We don't have to worry about that accuser any longer, do we? Not if you're following Christ. Not if you're walking in his victory. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What's that mean? We overcome because he died for our sins on the cross. He shed his blood for us. That makes us overcomers. When we put our faith in him and we believe in him, we become overcomers. Why aren't we walking like it? Why aren't we living like it? Why don't we have our heads lifted up high? You are an overcomer because you have Jesus. And it says, by the word of their testimony. What's my testimony? That Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. It's the same answer for both. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, and the word of our testimony is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin. Now let me just encourage you. Share your testimony. Share your testimony with the lost. You want to know how to share Christ with somebody? And this is something, I haven't been really pushing this. For a while, I was really pushing. You know, we got to be telling people about Jesus. We got to get out there and find the lost people and share, God's love with them. Share the gospel with them. It's important. If we don't do it, who's going to? Right? It's our job. That's, when you sign on to Christianity, you become more part of the workforce. It's time for you to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, how do I do that? Just tell them what happened to you. That's all. Lately, and I do this. I practice this. I'm one of those preachers that actually practices what he preaches. I tell my testimony. I go to the fatherhood group. I tell my testimony. I go to CareNet. I tell my testimony. I go to the jail. I tell my testimony. I tell my testimony to people that, if God gives me that opportunity, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to tell them how I got saved. And it's coming, it's starting to come back to me. I was at the jail the last 3 weeks. I've been there 3 times in the last 2 weeks. And wow, God is doing some awesome thing. Both times, I had an opportunity where there was somebody new there, and somebody actually asked me the question. Somebody said, hey, you know what? We get guys coming in here all the time, and they're always talking about the Bible, and they're always talking about Jesus, but they never tell us how they got saved. I said, well, let me tell you. And I had an opportunity to share my testimony. And it always starts with, I fell in love with a girl. That's where it always starts. And as soon as I said that, one of the other guys in the room goes, I remember that testimony. I said, you do? He goes, yeah. He goes, you're the guy that went to church for the girl and you ended up finding Jesus. I said, that's right. You remember my testimony. I couldn't even remember the guy's face. I hadn't seen him in quite a while. But he remembered my testimony. Share your testimonies. If they don't remember trust me, you can read scripture all day long to them. You can tell them all, and they're not going to remember everything that you say. But when you tell them something that's real in your life, they can relate to that, and they'll remember that. If the only thing that somebody remembers about Jesus is that he saved you, and how, and why, that's a big step forward. That was in the guy's pod, in the girl's pod the other night. Same thing happened. I'm in this meeting, and next thing you know, the conversation leads to where somebody wants to hear my testimony. I'm like, yeah, I'll share that. I started sharing it, and somebody said, I remember that. You told us that like a long time ago. I'm like, yes, I did. It matters. We overcome. And you know what? When she said, I remember that, the other girls in the room were like, huh, I might want to listen to this. It was so important that she remembered it from a long time ago. I want to hear this. And I share how I went to church. And I tell them the truth. I say it took about 6 months for me to become a Christian. The first 2 months, I was going to church or so, somewhere roughly like that. I can't remember. It was 30 years ago, 32 years ago. First couple of months, I was going to church because I wanted the girl. The girl broke up with me because she loved Jesus more than me. How can this be? Are you kidding? Incredible, isn't it? But what that did was it forced me to say, hey, wait a minute, there's something more real to this God thing than I'm aware of, because she loves God more than she loves me, and I know she loves me. And so then I started going back to church to find the God of the girl. And when I found the God of the girl, and I learned that he died for my sins on the cross, and that he loved me, and he gives me eternal life, and he'll change everything, and that he would take sins out of my life that I was trying to get rid of on my own, but I just wasn't able to, I fell in love with him. And then I gave my life to him. And when I went to the altar, I said, Jesus, I'll follow you. I meant it. And here I am, 32 years later, 33 years later, trying to convince you to share your testimony, because it matters. And they really loved the part when I said, oh, by the way, I've been married to that girl for 32 awesome years. They love that part. Because it's a testimony of, you know what? I was this, and God made me that. Or I was that, and God made me this. And it's wonderful. Share your testimonies. Why? Because it'll help you be an overcomer. If you're not sharing with people, you know, how Jesus saved you, for a lot of them, there's no meaning. There's no meaning in just throwing scriptures at them. I had a guy the other day. Oh, yeah. One of the other guys likes to come in and play guitars. And I don't want to slam all the ministries that go out there. They do good. And everybody has their place. Well, this one guy is like, you know what? He had an opportunity where the guy was going to bring his guitar in and play. And I told the guys, I said, look, this guy, we could hear him playing in another room. I said, this guy's going to be coming over in a few minutes. He's going to play some songs for us. And so we're going to be interrupted for a few minutes. And one of the guys said, can we vote on that? I'm like, oh, really? You don't want him to do that? And he's like, no. And they explained to me that, you know what, sometimes people come in and they just pour stuff on them, but they never have any relationship with them. They never give them an opportunity to speak to hearts. The other night I did that. I spoke to some hearts, and I was blown away when these people started sharing stuff that they had never shared with anybody else before. Because I shared my testimony, because I made myself vulnerable, somebody else who was bound by hurt and pain and circumstance was able to feel vulnerable enough and open enough to open up and share something. I heard some things the other night that nobody else ever has heard because I shared my testimony. And them people, every single person in the room shared something that nobody else knows. I'm like, wow. God is healing people. God is setting people free. The tears the room was full of tears. And the Spirit of God was just moving on hearts. You want to overcome? You know, God started these people on the road to being overcomers instead of being overcome. The reason why they had these secrets and all this pain and all this hurt was because they were overcome. And God has set them on a path to help them become overcomers. You see the difference? Powerful. And they did not love their lives unto death. What's that mean? We are scared to death a lot of times, aren't we? I'm not saying nothing about Jesus. You kidding me? Somebody might hear me. You know, in the world, you kids that are still in school, don't be afraid to talk about Jesus. The world's going to come down on you. They're going to say, oh, you can't say that in here. And you say, yes, I can. Maybe you as a teacher can't start the conversation, but I can. Now, don't be rude and obnoxious and you know, I mean, in stealing the class and all that. There's a time and a place for everything, but you don't have to be ashamed of your Christian faith when you're walking in this world, no matter where you go. And we, you know, we that are grown up, we go to the workplace. Oh, come tonight. Yeah, that's a good idea. Come tonight and watch the movie. That's all about that. I forgot about that. It's about a teacher who shares her faith in class. It's a good movie. Yes, Dan. Here, come here. I want this on the tape, brother. When I was going to school, I want to hear this story.
Excuse me. When I was going to school there, we had the Catholic Church come in, then we had the Protestant Church come in. We had a choice what church to go into, you know. It was kind of nice. And back then, it was kind of nice because it was love, and it was a lot of meeting about Jesus and everything in the school, and we never had no problems and stuff like that, and we went to school, you know. And that was great back then. Now, today is like chaos, you know. But that's my story.
Oh, that's my story.
Sticking to it.
Let me ask you a question. As a believer sitting here today, do you more oftentimes feel like you have been overcome and you're struggling? Or do you more oftentimes feel like you're an overcomer and you're winning? Think about that. Because if you feel like you have been overcome and you're struggling, then I need to encourage you to get your focus back on Jesus. Because we know in this world we're going to have tribulation. We know that stuff is going to happen. Why? Because we're in a fallen world, and there's a devil in this world, and he's got all kinds of demons running around trying to mess with him. And stuff is going to happen. You know, somebody the other day, we were talking about free will. You know, free will is a wonderful thing when it works in your favor, right? But if we love free will for ourselves, but when somebody else exercises their free will and does something to harm us, now it's like, thanks, what's that all about, God? How come you allowed that to happen? Well, if he allows you to have free will to do good, then unfortunately, free will is part of everybody's life, and you can't control, you know, everybody around you. And so sometimes bad things happen to good people. Don't be overcome by that. It says they loved their lives. They did not love their lives to the death. Which means sometimes stuff is going to happen and we're going to die. But if we love our lives more than we love our Lord, we got a problem. Oftentimes, I shared this with a young man the other night. He's mad at God because God took his father and God took his grandfather, and I really needed them. Well, I get that. But if we're going to trust God, then we're going to have to learn how to deal with that and how to cope with that and how to overcome. If our goal in life is that we all end up in heaven with Jesus, if your loved one is already there, what's the problem? Well, I get it. There's a problem. It hurts when we lose loved ones. Everybody, I cry. We're supposed to mourn with those who mourn. Weep with those who weep. And it's a hard thing when we lose a loved one. Usually because we're a little selfish. I mean, that's the honesty of it is. We miss them. We want them in our lives. But if they're with Jesus, rejoice. Knowing that the day will come when we'll be with them again. For eternity. And so you take all the good things that they brought to your life and you keep living. One of the hardest things to get people who are really distraught over the loss of a loved one, one of the hardest things to do is to help them to continue living. Live. Your loved one who is gone would not want you to just be walking around this life dead. Live. It's okay to live. It's okay to be an overcomer and not overcome. I don't know what that was all about, but anyway. Romans chapter 12. If you got your Bibles, you can go there. I'm going to read through this chapter real quick because there's a lot of stuff in here that matters. Verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Look at verse 2 and 3 there for a moment. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And then down farther in verse 3, it says, "Think soberly." Understand something. A lot of us are overcome simply because we don't think the way God wants us to think. I was at a fatherhood group the other night, and they brought in Dr. Chris Ryan. How many know Dr. Chris Ryan? He's an interesting guy, and he showed us scientifically how the brain works. There's three areas of your brain. There's your brain stem, which controls all of the reflex actions that you have. It controls the things that you don't think about, like your breathing and your heartbeat and your blood pressure, all those things. And that's also the area of your brain where fight or flight comes from. Because fight or flight, it really is a reflex. It's an action. Some people's reflex, when something bad happens, the first thing is to run away. Other people, when something bad happens, you know, their reflex is to get in there and fight. You know, and so that's the reflex area in the brainstem. And then the next area is where all your emotions come from, anger and different feelings that you have. And then you have, beyond that, is the area of your brain where you actually think, the one where you reason. And one of the issues, part of the problem with most of us, especially people that struggle with anger or people that lash out and fight or you even look at on the news, all these people that are so distraught over the election and all of that, it's because you're not thinking with the main part of your brain. You're stuck either in the emotions or you're reacting. You know, you're not allowing the thought process to get all the way up where you can reason and make sense of things. And so people are responding out of the wrong parts of their brain. What we're being told here is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and to think soberly, which means we need to take a moment and pause. And one of the things that the doctor was sharing with us the other day was about meditation, how the power of meditation, being one-minded and focusing on one thing. And basically, and also your breathing. You know, he talked about focus on your breathing. And basically what he was talking about was giving your thought process time to get up into the area where you actually can reason. You know, when you get angry, some of us, our first reaction is to lash out. Well, that's you're functioning from the brain, from down here, the reflex part. And then the anger, you know, you get even hotter and you're yelling and screaming. Well, that's because you're reacting out of the center part. But if you would just take a moment and breathe, and let the thought process get all the way up to your mind, you would realize, hey, you know what? Okay, something bad happened, but I don't have to go crazy over this. I can react differently. I don't want to look like a raving lunatic all the time. Anybody know raving lunatics? Yeah. Well, if you know a raving lunatic, it's because they're not thinking from the right part in their brain. It's powerful stuff. The Word of God is true. Meditation. What's meditation? Prayer. Stopping long enough to sit and focus on what? On God. When you stop long enough and you meditate on the Lord, and there's tons of scriptures that goes along. You know, Joshua talked about meditate on the law day and night that you may prosper and have good success. And that's just one. Psalm 1. Everybody's laughing because we will never forget that, will we? What Pastor McCarthy said about that verse. If you were here, I'm not going to share it with you. Maybe some other time. You were here? Yeah, that was one of the... The church service still gets interrupted by that. Is it? That was pretty funny. And everybody went home and read Joshua chapter 1:8. Well, the men did anyway. Now I lost my thought. Meditation. Praying. Read Psalm chapter 1. Talks about meditating. Talks about how you know, when you will stop long enough to focus on God and let Him start to interact with your mind and your emotions and your reflexes and all that stuff, you can become an overcomer rather than be overcome. Somebody who's reacting, fighting, or flighting, or somebody who's angry and frustrated and hurt and all that, you know, they're not thinking soberly. Let's move on. Verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion of our faith. Verse 7, or ministry, service, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts, which is encouraging and strengthening, in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Now, I want to go back just for a moment and look at verse 6, saying, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Are you using your gifts? Now, I know we've covered this before, and you may think, I don't have any gifts. Yes, you do. Prophecy. Many of you, and I put the definition here for you, because many of you don't think that you're capable of prophecy. When you think about prophecy, you think, oh, you know, the guy that comes and he speaks about the future over you. You know, well, that is part of prophecy. But if you look at the definition of prophecy in that word that is used in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it's a discourse emanating from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God, whether by reproving and admonishing the wicked or comforting the afflicted or revealing things hidden, especially foretelling future events. Now, emanating from divine inspiration. Understand this. I believe that God divinely inspires each and every one of us at times. Have you ever been inspired to just do something good for somebody? That's part of prophecy. Do you know that? It's a divine thing. Do you know why, you know, those who have gone to the lunch program have volunteered to sign up and they go down there and they actually do the service? Because God divinely called you and said, hey, this is something good to do. Go do it. And basically what you're doing is you're taking a divine inspiration and you're declaring the purposes of God by going out and serving others. That's part of prophecy. Did you know? Did you know that you're a prophet? Did you know that? Never looked at it that way. And what you're doing there, look at where it says, you're comforting the afflicted. Whenever you are inspired by God to give comfort to somebody who is afflicted, that's part of prophecy. You all can be prophets. I wanted to share that with you just to help give you a little bit of understanding. When he talked about ministry in verse 7, that's about service. When you go out and serve, go out and minister to others. When you teach or when you exhort, exhortation means encouraging and strengthening people. I hope that you exhort people all the time. Encourage and strengthen people. Do these things. Use these gifts. As it says there, use them in verse 6. Use the gifts that God has given you. Let's move on. Excuse me. Verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I want to look at that for a moment. Verse 11, fervent in spirit. It doesn't say fervent in flesh. How many of us react out of flesh? How many of us try to do everything in the flesh? Be fervent in spirit. You know, our flesh should not be driving the spirit. The spirit of God should be driving our flesh, right? And if we were allowing the spirit of God to drive our flesh, we would be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. in honor, giving preference to one another, right? Oh, man, they cut me off in traffic again. So what? Let them have that spot if they need it. Sometimes I'm not too good. If you ever go to, I end up at a lot of gatherings where there's food, and many times I'm the first one in line. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. And I'm going through the line, and I'll be sitting there eating, and every now and again I'll look and I'll see the one person who's just waiting for everybody. And so I look at that and I'm like, you know what? God bless him. But I'm really hungry. You know, no. But giving preference to one another, which means, you know what? Your issues are more important than mine right now. I drive people crazy. I drive my wife crazy. I drive myself crazy sometimes. So I got all this stuff I got to get done. Somebody will call me up. Hey, could you do that? Yeah, I'll be right there. Now, you know, I got stuff. I got to get some of my stuff done too, but whatever. Favor one another. Bless one another. Let's move on. Verse 13, distributing, okay, 12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You know how wonderful it is when you're kind to people, when other people are kind to you? Isn't that awesome? We as believers need to be given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I struggle with that one. Wow. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You don't know, and I've let a little bit out since, but you don't know how hard it was for me to bite my tongue throughout this whole election process and not post and not argue and not debate and all this, because I have an opinion. And I see all these other people who are being wise with their opinion. this is talking to me too this morning, church. But be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your minds on high things, but associate with the humble. One of the, you know, in that whole thing about not being wise in your own opinion, one of the most freeing things that I learned a while ago is I don't always have to be right even when I know I am. You can be in a conversation with somebody, and once it starts into a debate and an argument, it's okay to just back off and say, you know what? Yeah, that's cool. If that's the way you see it, then God bless you. I don't have to be right, even when I know I am. Because when I have to prove that I'm right, all that does is build contention and more strife and more argument. It's like, you know, hey, God bless you. I love you. Let's talk about something else. It's very freeing. It says in verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. That's a hard one. It's a very hard one. When somebody does something to you, it's like, oh yeah. It's on. But you... That's the way I grew up. If you know my family, yeah, y'all want to have fun this Christmas? Come over to my mom's house on Christmas Day. We render evil for evil over there, let me tell you. It's not evil. It's all in good fun. But some people, well, if you don't have a sense of humor, do not come. That's all I got to say. If your skin is this thin, don't come. I don't want to hurt you. If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, if it's possible, it's not. How many know it's not possible to live at peace with everybody? You know that? Because not everybody reasons from up here and thinks from up here. The bottom line is, you know what? You and I are both created for the same purpose. Doesn't matter if you think like I do. Doesn't matter if you do like I do. The truth is, you and I are both created for the same purpose, and that is to please God. And so don't render evil for evil. You don't know what God's doing in that person's life. You don't know what it's going to take for that person to turn to God. And so if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, so if the other person wants to be angry, yell and scream and fuss and just carry on, then so be it. But you be peaceful. As much as it depends on you, be peaceable. Be peaceful. Verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. That's a hard one, isn't it? Do not avenge yourselves, which means... You mean I can't get back at them? Only at my mom's house on Christmas Day. Other than that, no, you can't. We're not that bad. You know what? Think about it for a moment. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, they nailed him to the cross. They spit on him. They ripped out his beard. They shoved thorns in his head. They stole his clothes. And what did he do about it? He didn't do a thing. Not even when he was in trial, being tried, he kept his mouth shut. He did not avenge himself. And he, of all people, could have. Oh, man. What? He forgave them. Ooh. So let me ask you this. Has any of us, I'm looking around here, have any of us had our beards ripped out, we've been spit in our face, and has any of us been nailed to a cross? No. But Pastor, they did this. Well, that doesn't compare to nailed to a cross. But they said this. Well, that doesn't compare to nailed to a cross. Let it go. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And so when the evil person does that evil thing, and let me tell you something. I came across some people the other day that shared some really, people had done some very evil things to them. And you don't know how, I didn't want to sound ridiculous, but the only thing I could offer them was, you know what, yeah, as hard as it may be, you will be blessed if you can find that place where you can forgive them. Horrible things. Horrible things. And my only answer was, please try to get that place where you can forgive. Because by you, with you know, being overcome with all of this hurt and all this pain, you're still giving that person who did you harm power to continue doing harm over you. And so when you can learn to forgive and let it go, it's done. It's over. God saw it. God will deal with it. But if you can learn to forgive and let it go, you will be set free. It's a hard concept, especially when you're talking to people that aren't really quite, maybe they're on the fence in their walk with Christ yet. They're not really sure. But God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So let it go. Trust me, God's got a better way of dealing with them than you do. I'm pretty sure of that. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, what does this all have to do with this word overcome? Well, the very next verse says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. What's this talking about? This whole message, this whole portion of Scripture was talking about how you treat other people, about how you relate with other people. Do not be overcome with evil, which means don't treat other people any differently than the way you want to be treated. But overcome evil with good, which means even if somebody's coming at you and somebody else is totally evil against you, you be good. And you know, if we would pay attention to our relationships and treat people and love people the way God wants us to love people. What are the commandments? Love God, love your neighbor. There's no room in there, that part about love your neighbor. There's no room in there about getting even. There's no room in there about starting a fight. No room in there about, hey, you know what? I know better than you, therefore you need to sit down and shut up. There's no room in there for any of that. You want to be an overcomer? Love God and love people. No matter what. Let me close, wrap this up with it, because we still got to take an offering for these boxes. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Do you hear that? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that enables you to overcome the world. If you don't have faith, what's the same verse 5? Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You want to be an overcomer? Start following Jesus. Period. Do you believe that he's the Son of God? If you believe that he's the Son of God, then you know that God loves you because he sent his own Son to this earth to die for your sins and then to rise from the dead so that you too can rise from the dead. If you believe that, you overcome the world. Who's an overcomer this morning? I am. Thank you, Jesus. One more verse. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Now, remember what I talked about earlier? When I share my testimony, I get to that part where I say, I fell in love with Jesus. What is your goal in the end of all this? When you pass and you move on, what is your goal? Oh, to live in heaven. Well, that's nice. But I don't think that's the goal that God wants us to really. If that's where, just to live in heaven, if that's your goal, you're cutting yourself a little short. As wonderful as that is, it's going to be a little short. You know what my goal is? My goal is to spend eternity with Jesus. My goal is to meet him, to see him face to face, the one who died for me. I want to feel his arms around me. I want to walk with him and talk with him. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place, but if Jesus ain't there, I don't want to go there. I want to be where Jesus is. It says, "I will grant to sit with me in my throne." What's that mean? Jesus is waiting for me too. He's already there. And you know what? He's not satisfied in heaven. Think about that for a moment. Jesus is not satisfied in heaven if you're not there. Think about that. I've never heard anybody say that. It just kind of slipped out, so I'm running with it. He created us for his pleasure. If we're not there, is he going to be pleased? And so what's the goal? His goal is for you to sit right on the throne with him, right next, right there. You ever have, I'm sorry, Mindy, but I always use Cruz as an example. He's such a good example. And therefore, you're tied into that this morning. If you look up here, you see this mom and this boy just sitting there together. Why are they doing that? Because they love each other. And you know why Minnie comes here? Because her son's here. And you know what Cruz longs for? His mom to show up. And look at, they're right there, they're touching each other. Oh. Sarah, your sister's leaning right against you, isn't she? Carol's almost sitting on Bill's lap. Oh, amen. The Wolf kids are all bunched up there. Tan's got Jesus right there. He's got his arm around him. You know, it's all about relationship. It really is. our relationship with one another and our relationship with Jesus. And so our goal shouldn't just be to make it to heaven. I want to sit right next to him, just like Cruz and Mindy and just like Bill and Carol and Patty and Sarah and everybody else. Are you an overcomer? Or are you overcome? There's a difference. If you're overcome, I want to pray for you this morning because I want you to be an overcomer. Okay? And as you're going out overcoming, you spread that love with Jesus Christ so that other people can become overcomers. Because the vast truth of it is, we will run into more people this week that are overcome than that are overcoming. Right? And so it's our job to minister God's love for them, to them, so that they too can overcome. I need a basket. Oh, right here. We need to take up an offering again to help ship these boxes. We need, I think the number of boxes that we have, we need close to $1,000. It's like $995. We're not quite there. If we want to ship them all out. And so I'm going to ask you again, I thank you that you were generous last week. I'm going to ask you to be as equally generous if you can this week, that we can do that. But this is how you overcome evil. You do good, right? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message, and I thank you for these gifts that are going out. I thank you for each child that is represented here, each heart. I pray that each one not only receives a gift in the flesh, but they receive a gift in the spirit when they know that it's your love that sent them this gift. Give them eternal life, I pray. Bless this offering in Jesus' name, amen. If you could just go ahead and pass that around. Praise God. I'm going to... I didn't do it intentionally. I didn't realize that song we sang for the offering earlier had the word overcome in it, but because it did,